Earth and Sky.
Contrary to some statements that have been made in the media, there is no consensus about whether even astronomers view Pluto as a planet or not.
You're listening to astronomer and author Ken Croswell, and this is Earth Sky's Clear Voices for Science. February 2010 marks the 80th anniversary of the discovery of Pluto, which until recently was officially one of nine major planets in our solar system. In 2006, the International Astronomical Union stripped Pluto of major planet status. They labeled it as a dwarf planet, one of the largest of a group of similar bodies in the outer solar system. Dr. Croswell spoke by phone about Pluto with Earth Sky's Jorge Salazar.
Dr. Croswell, welcome to Earth Sky's Clear Voices for Science.
Thank you.
Now, tell us a little bit about a poll that the magazine that you, you've recently written an article for is involved with. Tell us about this poll that is asking people what they think about the astronomical object Pluto.
Pluto is a very controversial object, as you know, and Highlights for Children magazine, during the month of February, which is the 80th anniversary of Pluto's discovery, is running a poll as to whether you think Pluto should be a planet or not. And anyone, whether you're an adult or a child, feel free to vote, whether you're pro-Pluto or anti-Pluto. And contrary to some statements that have been made in the media, there is no consensus about whether even astronomers view Pluto as a planet or not. There seem to be two main camps of astronomers. The first camp of astronomers wants to define a planet as something that has cleared out its orbital zone in its path around the sun. So that means that nothing substantial should cross the planet's orbit. By this definition, Pluto is not a planet because Pluto crosses the orbit of Neptune, which is a no-no. Also, Pluto belongs to the Edgeworth-Kuiper belt, which contains more than 1,000 known objects. This definition of planet has major problems. For one thing, clearing out an orbital zone has never been a criterion for planethood. Second, even if the Earth, which I hope we can all agree is a planet, were part of the Edgeworth-Kuiper belt, the Earth would not be considered a planet because it would not have cleared out its orbital zone. And third, we now know of other solar systems that have planets that cross each other's orbits, just as Neptune and Pluto do. Now, the second camp of astronomers wants to define a planet instead as anything that's massive enough to squeeze itself into a round shape. The Earth is round because it's got so much gravity that the gravity keeps it round. In contrast, the two moons of Mars, Phobos and Deimos, are so small that they look like potatoes. They're not round. Now, by this definition, the second definition, Pluto is a planet. This definition also runs into some trouble. For one thing, and I think the worst thing about this definition is it would confer planethood not just on Pluto, but on so many other things, too, probably dozens, if not hundreds, of other objects in the solar system. And so the word planet would lose the connotation of an important object orbiting the sun.
Yeah, so you're saying that that as of today, the leading astronomical body of astronomers, the International Astronomical Union, basically has said that there are only eight planets, but there's a good reason to feel that, there should be 10 planets.
Yes, yes. In 2006, just a few hundred astronomers voted on that definition of planet. And as you note, they demoted Pluto because they require that a true planet has cleared out its orbital zone. This, we all agree, Pluto has not done. But I think it makes much more sense to continue to regard Pluto as a planet as we have ever since 1930, ever since it was discovered. I prefer a definition that does as little damage to existing nomenclature as possible. And I think my definition of basically Pluto or bigger and going around the sun, I think my definition does that.
And I guess flash forward from 1930 to the 1970s, Pluto is discovered to have a fairly large moon, Charon, and then even going further through the years, in 2005, two new moons are found to orbit Pluto, Nix and Hydra. Tell us more about these moons of Pluto.
Yeah, the moons are actually very important. 20 years after Pluto was discovered, in 1950, Gerard Kuiper used the 200-inch telescope, which was then the largest working telescope on Earth, and tried to measure the diameter of Pluto. We now know he got it completely wrong, but nevertheless, he thought that Pluto was about halfway in size between Mercury and Mars. So that, you know, it was clearly a planet. And it was only with the discovery of Pluto's first moon, Charon, in 1978, that, hey, we realized something was seriously wrong with that earlier estimate of Pluto's diameter. Because the nice thing about a moon, besides being a nice crescent to look at in the twilight sky, is that a moon feels a planet's gravity. And so once we had discovered that first moon, which, as you point out, is very large relative to Pluto, we could estimate the mass of Pluto. And Pluto was 500 times less massive than the Earth. And then during the 1980s, Pluto and that first moon eclipsed each other. And the duration of those eclipses revealed the size of Pluto and the moon. And we now know that Pluto is half the diameter of the planet Mercury. So whereas the estimate from 1950 was that Pluto was a bit larger than Mercury, we now realize that Pluto is half the size of Mercury, but it's over twice the size of Ceres, the largest asteroid going around the sun between the orbits of Mars and Jupiter. So with the realization that Pluto is half the diameter of Mercury, suddenly Pluto fell into planetary limbo, smaller than the smallest definite planet, namely Mercury, but larger than the largest known asteroid, Ceres.
Well, Dr. Croswell, and thanks very much for taking this time to speak with us today. Just have one final wrapping up question. What's the most important thing that you want people today to know about Pluto?
I think Pluto has been unfairly maligned. I think people think it's smaller than it really is. Pluto is the 10th largest thing that goes around the sun. Okay, so yeah, it's smaller than Jupiter, but you know what? So is the Earth. Earth is the fifth largest thing that goes around the sun. Pluto is bigger than most people think. If you put it in the same orbit as Mars, it would actually be a very bright object. When closest to the sun and to the Earth, it would be brighter than the brightest star at night. So Pluto, you know, the main reason Pluto looks so faint and so hard to study, it's not because it's small, but it's because it's so very far away. And by the way, Pluto is not an ice ball. This is another thing that is sometimes used to malign Pluto. Pluto is twice as dense as rock. That's one thing that the first moon of Pluto told us. It told us the density of Pluto. And Pluto's two-thirds rock and one-third ice. So I would just like everyone to realize that Pluto is the 10th largest object that goes around the sun. And I think it deserves a little more respect than it has received from certain Pluto-phobic astronomers.
You've been listening to astronomer Ken Croswell, author of the books 10 Worlds and Magnificent Universe. To subscribe to this and other free science interview podcasts, visit the subscribe page at earthsky.org. I'm Deborah Bird. Earth Sky is a clear voice for science.
We're at earthsky.org.